Some of us have shared 8 Easters now. In a mortality house, we may have shared 4. This is our 4th Easter here. And so I wish all of you a happy Easter as we begin this session today. We're going to try to find the meaning of ascension within ourselves as an experience. Always, as we move into a deeper sense of self, we find these glimmers that tell us you're making progress. Seems slow, but the last experience was necessary because that experience taught you something that you will eventually realize. You can't do it on your own. On your own, you are separated. You're not plugged into the One. And whatever you do will be a continuation of past errors with new disguises. Something miraculous happened on this earth. And even now, to your own surprise, you may discover you're not aware of that miracle. The life of you appeared before the form of you and said, "Here I am." Now that's a miracle. There you were in a form, and right in front of you, looking at you in another form, was one who said, "I am the light." And this was mistaken to be an external light, an inspiring light, everything but the light of my own inner being. And yet, that's what said, "I am the light." The human mind cannot conceive of such a thing. The light of my being appearing external to my form, speaking to me. And so always the mind rejects. It even makes great declarations about acceptance while it rejects. Ascension to the light is the end of the human dominion by the mind. And so the mind will wear many disguises, even pretending to accept by great declarations that I am the Christ. And the mind isn't the Christ at all. But it will pretend, and it will take its dominion over a world that doesn't exist until the hoax is made visible. And once more we fall on our face. And we say to ourselves, "Well, at least I learned something. Until I find Christ's self, I'm not walking the path of truth. I've wanted God. I've wanted God power. But I must face a simple fact, an astounding fact, that God only speaks to Christ. God only expresses through Christ. And to know God aright, I must be Christ. I cannot equivocate any longer. There must come, I am the Christ. I am the light of the world. Until I am that light, that Christ, that self, God isn't going to speak to me. God isn't going to direct me. God isn't going to lead me. God is not going to be the substance and the law of my being. I will move and continue in mortal duality." The ascension is the acceptance of Christ's identity. Until Christ in you ascends, and dissolves the mortal sense of form and of earth. And so we begin our ascension the moment we have accepted the impossible dream. I am the Christ of God. It doesn't matter how you come to that acceptance. What does matter is that you know this inevitable acceptance is only the beginning. Of reality. The truth of God cannot express through a mortal being. It never has. It never will. And furthermore, it says so. It says Son, and that means Christ. Christ, thou art ever with me. And me is infinity, the infinite Father. Christ, thou art ever with the infinite Father. Meaning, the infinite Father individualizes as the Christ that you are. And all that I, the infinite Father, have is thine. The fullness, the complete and total expression of infinity is thine. Speaking to Christ. And yet, that is what each of us has really sought, wanted, hoped for, and prayed for, the infinite expression of God in us as living grace. And you can only receive it when you accept yourself to be the Son to whom the Father is speaking. The infinite individualization of God. And so if in your actions, in your thoughts, in your words, in your attitudes, you in any way deny yourself to be I, Christ, you are putting up a barrier to the experience of God where you are. Infinity individualizes in Christ, as Christ, and goes no further. It does not enter into mortality. Ascension out of mortality into Christ accepted becomes the experience of Easter, or the fourth dimension of consciousness. I and the Father are one. All that the Father hath is mine. And all of the becoming of tomorrows disappears into eternity realized now. Now then, when you have been willing to cast aside the toys of mortality and accept adulthood in Christ, you have a single-pointed purpose. What is this Christ that I am? How shall I live as Christ? How shall I accept what I am? What shall I do about it? How shall I prevent myself from denying that I am this Christ? Is that what our day is all about? Or is it about the fulfillment of human will and human need? The path is difficult enough for one who is striving to attain the realization of the pure Christ. And it's an impossible task for one who is not doing that, but rather is concerned about my human sense of life. That one is simply wasting their time. There's no place for mammon in God. And, of course, today we're speaking not to the human sense of a mortal me, we're speaking to the soul. We're speaking to that higher self which says, yes, I and the Father are one, and though there be remnants of mortality clinging to me, I have the patience, I have the fortitude, I have the trust that in the allness of God I can move, live, have my being independent of this world, right here, independent of conditions of body, conditions of mind, conditions of employment, conditions of health, independent of every human condition, I can learn to walk here in God, in the light, expressing the divine qualities simply by stepping out of every degree of mortality that I can discern through spiritual enlightenment. That's our narrow path. We could have joined the 50 million today who are going to worship an external being, who are going to deny I Christ in themselves and wonder why tomorrow their world is no different. And we could make the same mistakes we have made before. We continue in the logic of the mind, in the ego of the mind, quite convinced that we can figure it all out. But Easter Sunday tells us that only when the Son of Man in you is lifted, risen, when you have transcended all mortal sense, whether it be of mind or body, all sense of matter, all sense of nothingness, and been willing to walk the narrow path of I Christ, which widens as you walk unto infinity. We could have been a statistic. We could have continued as a human antenna. We could have remained buried in the grave of mortality. But Christ says, awaken. Who do you think has been speaking the words from the Bible to you? I, in the midst of you. I, your identity, says, come unto me. I will give thee light. Your identity says, when you have raised me up in you, meaning when you have accepted that you're not a limited, finite, mortal self, I will direct thy paths. When you can look at the world around you, at each individual, the alcoholic, the drug addict, the blind, the sick, the suffering. And not be tempted to hang those labels on them in your consciousness. When you can look at every adverse condition and see only I, Christ, then you have found I, Christ, is the one Christ, the light of the world, not of a person, of the world. Then you have found I, Christ, where you are. Then you are linked with the infinite, for you have denied your identity nowhere. Then you have lifted up the Son of Man, no longer are you subject to the law of karma, of cause and effect, of matter that disintegrates, the law of mortality. Yes, a miracle happened on this earth. It has been proven to be the fullness of God invisible, even while we surround ourselves with nothingness. We stand in the midst of paradise. As you look about you with eyes, as you listen with ears, as you touch with fingers, you must know that I cannot see the Christ before me. I cannot touch the Christ. I cannot hear the Christ out there. And therefore what I see and touch and feel and hear, this mortal sense is my tomb. I, Christ, do not live in mortal sense. I, Christ, do not live in body. I, Christ, do not live in time. I, Christ, do not live in space. Where am I? I am in the Father. And the Father is not in time. I am in the Father, and the Father is not in space. I am in the Father, and the Father is not a human body. I disengage myself from the world of the senses. Picture yourself walking down the street. You walk down the street, you're going somewhere, maybe to mail a letter. What's on your mind? Getting the letter in the post office box somehow. And coming back to where you're going, where you've come from, or going on to another place. But what should be on your mind? Here is the Christ of God. That's what should be on your mind. Here is the Christ of God, and this visible self walking down the street is not that Christ. But here is the Christ of God. And God outwardly, to human eyes, manifesting invisibly as the Christ, appears to human sense as this me walking down to the box to mail a letter. When you're in that consciousness, what else is there? There's only God infinite expressing as invisible Christ, appearing as human form. Appearing as, not being human form, appearing as human form. What is there is Christ. What is there is God expressing as Christ. And in the moment that you are aware of I, Christ, the invisible self, you'll discover there's not a car on the streets going to hit you. Why? Omniscience is functioning. It will enlighten you to the fact that there's a car approaching, or enlighten the driver to turn away. wherever you are, consciously knowing that here is I, Christ, the Father speaks and acts and expresses through you right there on an infinite basis. And you have taken yourself out of world mind. You've taken yourself out of all the levels of the unconscious mind. You're in I, Christ, to whom the Father has said, Son, all that I have is thine. My omniscience, my omnipotence, my omnipresence are all embodied in I, Christ. Grace is embodied in I, Christ. Infinite flowing of expression from God seeps through into the visible experience. We're told by Joel that God is individual being. Your individual being, my individual being. But that doesn't end right there. There's something we do have to do about it, to bring it into our experience. We cannot make it the truth. It is the truth. But we can block ourselves from experiencing that truth by not being I, Christ. God is your individual being, but what is your individual being? It is I, Christ. Now, how do you bring I, Christ into your experience? So that God expresses as your individual being in your experience right here, instead of just in Joel's book or in your mental knowledge that it is true. He also says God is your individual consciousness. Ah, but that's an absolute truth. God isn't your false sense of consciousness. Your human consciousness is a false sense of consciousness. And the only way to experience God as your consciousness is to step out of your false sense of consciousness. Stepping out of it, you discover what he said is the truth. God is your individual consciousness. When you have stepped out of mortal consciousness, sense consciousness, conditioned consciousness, material consciousness, three-dimensional consciousness, time consciousness, space consciousness, fear consciousness, doubt consciousness, all of these you must step out of before your individual divine consciousness shines forth. Lifting up of the Son of Man is also the shedding of the remnants of mortality that have clung to your false sense of consciousness. Fortunately, we have a divine intercessor, our own being, Christ in you. Is the only self that can dissolve the remnants of mortality. It works as light dissolves darkness. As you walk in humanhood, in darkness, looking out there, you're turning away from the within light. As you find the within light, the remnants of darkness or mortality are dissolved. And lo, here stands the kingdom of God ready to flow, to express, to lift you beyond the concept of a lifespan. Parallel with the miracle that appeared on earth, as the light of your being standing in front of you as a form called Jesus, saying, I am the light of the world, is the remarkable truth that you are the light of the world. And the only way to learn how to be I Christ is to carefully observe what I Christ in the form of Jesus is doing. Because just as I Christ standing in the form of Jesus speaks to you, I Christ in you is pointing you to I Christ in Jesus, saying, watch what he does, for that is truly I Christ in you out there doing it as a leader to you, as a way shower. Everything he is doing out there, watch, because that is the nature of I Christ in you. Hear those words within you. See those actions within you. Because just as mortality is unknown to I Christ, so is I Christ unknown to mortality. The miracle is that the bridge of mortality into I Christ has already been established for us. You're not doing it on your own. You're only a pioneer in spirit, but there is a spirit that has walked before you. If you're willing to look at that spirit instead of into the mortal forms around you. Now we're in I Christ. That's where we stand. That's the only way you can really begin a day. There's no other beginning that's true. I Christ. What is I Christ going to do today? The only thing I Christ can do is express God. The will, the power, the law, the truth. I Christ can do nothing else. If you don't step out of I Christ in your consciousness, you'll find yourself moving through a day in which you're expressing the will of God. I in the midst of thee am mighty. I am greater than all the material powers in the world. I Christ, yourself. I am ready to dissolve earth and show you heaven. Do you believe that? I, Christ, has been saying that to each of us all these centuries. When you have made the effort to be I, Christ will express oneness. And your realization of oneness will come through I, Christ, in you, who is one with the Father, expressing the infinite where you walk, where you talk, where you think, in all your actions. In reverse, when you express doubt or fear, or hope or desire or ambition, or anything that is not in I Christ, you are stepping out of your identity. That's why we have so many casualties. We only learn through these many casualties that there is no margin for error in I Christ. It's a pure acceptance. And if you've had your share of errors, your share of tragedies, your share of emergencies, it has all been preparing you for the I Christ life. It would be wonderful for those who are living in that consciousness, turning their total effort, their way of life into that. to meet, to discover that there are those who can succeed in this inner movement. There are those who can reach that high mountaintop in which the oneness with the Father is not something that they declare, but which the Father in them declares. I am come. It is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. All that I have, my infinite love, my infinite wisdom, my infinite life is yours. Why? Because you are my child, the Christ, and you must now be perfect as your Father. You have one parent, a divine parent, no other. Do you still think you have another parent than the Father? Then you are saying you are not the Christ, aren't you? Yes, that's a very narrow path to know I have no other parent than the Father. But what about this little body that came out of my mother's womb, that grew into me? It isn't Christ, is it? Is it you? Then you're not Christ. Do you see the transformation in consciousness? While you're in the womb of spirit, accepting I, Christ, you've stepped out of the womb of the world. I know you're moving into what you would think is nothingness, but I, Christ, is very much at home in this human sense of nothingness. And so now trust becomes very important. I, Christ, am perfectly at home in the kingdom of God. Do you doubt that I know the way? Are you not willing to rest in me? I am the light, and I will be a lamp unto those who cannot walk in the invisible. I mean the invisible of perfection, for that is all that is here. The invisible of truth, the invisible of harmony, that is all that is here. Do not seek it, I am it. I, Christ, in you can never be lacking or limited or in darkness or lost or wondering or doubtful or seeking or striving or struggling. All of these things are the denial of Christ. I, Christ, in you can never be in error. Are you in error? Then you're denying I, Christ, is your name. But I, Christ, is the fact of you, and the error, therefore, must be the lie about you. You can never be in error. It's impossible. You can never be in sickness. It has never belonged to you. You have accepted this auto-suggestion. You have accepted a mesmerism which pins these things on you, and then you say, this is what I have. And as you say it, you are saying, I am not I, Christ. I am not the light. Fidelity to I, Christ, means rejection of every possible error in you. It never belongs to you. It never is you. It is no part of your being. All self-condemnation goes. You can never be guilty of anything. I, Christ, is your only self, perfect now as the Father. This detachment from all feelings of having committed a wrong at one time or another for having omitted something you should have done. All this is mortal sense. It has no reality. And just as you absolve yourself from the guilt of mortal sense, knowing that all sickness and suffering, all lack and limitation, are not part of my being, but are subliminal world suggestion appearing to me as, and I've simply made the mistake of accepting it as mine. And now you absolve all those you know. For I, Christ, is the identity of the world, not of one individual. And so you look at all the disguises called persons, and all you accept is there is invisible I, Christ. One invisible Christ. There is no guilt in the world. For you, the world is forgiven. Why? You're accepting I, Christ, as the name of God invisible everywhere. You're not doing this to be virtuous. You're doing this because the Father says, do it. You're doing this because it's the only way into reality. There is no individual on the earth that you can incriminate in any way. Even to fear one or to hate one. And as Joel says, even to love one. And that's difficult. All you can love is I, Christ. You certainly cannot fear I, Christ, or hate I, Christ. And that I, Christ, there is you there. We're lifting the Son of God, the Son of Man. You find you can't control this. It's too big. Your mind can't embrace it and stay there. And so you lift yourself beyond your mind. One of the first things Joel says in his chapter is the person who has realized his spiritual nature and identity and who lives by the Spirit cannot be limited in any way. There's no way to confine spiritual being. On the other hand, slavery is the natural estate of the human being. A human being can never escape slavery, can never know freedom, but is destined to be in slavery throughout all his days. And therefore, the only hope a human being has is to rise out of his humanhood. Into, you might add, the realization that I am I, Christ. Where else can you go out of humanhood? Only into spiritual selfhood. And how do you rise out of humanhood? You realize that it wasn't God created. And therefore, it has no existence. You either die in humanhood or die to humanhood. You see the choice? You die in mortality or you die to it. That's the miracle. We're given the choice. Remain a human and become a statistic. Accept I Christ and walk through the fire. Ascension is not after death. That monumental blunder that we ascend after death is not the Christ teaching at all. Ascension is the consciousness which climbs the mountaintop to I Christ now. Now are we I Christ. Ascension must precede death, for that is how death is swallowed up in victory. Ascension to I Christ, I the light. But wait a minute, the moment you say I the light, what are you? A physical form? Which are you? I the light or I the physical form? Do you remember Joel's great talk on two types of flesh? Flesh and flesh? Spiritual flesh and material flesh? There are two kinds of light. There's the light of the flesh, the little atoms. That's light. But there's the light of spirit, which is simulated by the atoms. Which are you, the light of this flesh or the light of the spirit? If you are made of atomic dust, that's not I, Christ. You see, you cannot say, for instance, you might say, I'm a skin diver. Does that make you one? You could say, I am Christ. That doesn't change your life. But I am the Christ, and therefore I'm not what I appear to be. I'm not both. I'm not this mortal self at all. I can't be the mortal self and the Christ. Or else I'm guilty of the false notion that this mortal self dies and then I will become the Christ. No, you're either the Christ now, or you're missing the Christ message. I, in the midst of you, am mighty. And so we take this into our secret heart. It's going to lift us above the clouds of world thought, above all auto-suggestion, above the passing shadows of form, above the transient. It's going to lift us into that place where I have substance, meat, where I am fed only by God, where I can say that God has sent me. God is expressing as me. God is my being. There's no separation between I, Christ, and God. And therefore there's no second power that can exert itself on your being when it is I, Christ, unseparated from God. All false sense of power is terminated. Sickness came to the mortal sense of self. It doesn't come to I Christ. All errors, all evils, all false human powers, all false material powers are part of the darkness dissolved by the light of I Christ. Imagine in the very first sentence of his chapter, we cannot continue as human beings. We must step out of humanhood. Release man. Start with yourself. Release the whole concept of a human man, a human woman, a human child. Take yourself out of the sense of humanhood. Take everyone you know out of the sense of humanhood. Accept them as they are, as divine beings. Release them from the concept of a dying self. Freedom, says Joel, does not come through an appeal to God or through warfare of any name or nature, but through enlightenment. Enlightenment. I am the light, says the Christ. That's your enlightenment. Through opening one's consciousness to that which cannot be seen, heard, tasted, touched, or smelled, to a power invisible. Which does not war with other powers, but dissolves everything that appears in the nature of an enemy, without our being or within. Any enemy outside of you or within you, any enemy outside of your body or within your body, is dissolved by enlightenment, this invisible power. It is the power of God expressing as the Christ, accepted in consciousness, as identity. Not as a second self, not as another power to be used, but as identity. It must be the I am of your being before this invisible power, this enlightenment beyond the senses, dissolves the errors of the senses. This is the only freedom. Why does Joel speak of these things? Because he had attained them and knew that this was waiting for you to attain. Because he knew it was possible. Because he knew it isn't true that you can say justifiably, this is beyond my possibility. No, another man had done it. And others and others and others had done it. Enlightenment dissolves all sense of error because there never is error. All is Christ. All is God. Is there error in Christ? What is the error? The error is that I am not the Christ. That's the error. And from that error, all other errors spring. How many times in this chapter did you read that to find the cause of error, to seek the cause of error, is foolish? How can there be a cause for an error if error does not exist? You can say this error was caused by this type of thinking, and this error was caused by that type of thinking, but you're accepting the existence of the error. Or you can say this error was caused by world thought, this error was caused by a certain kind of jealousy or hate, this error was caused by worry. You can give all reasons for these errors. You can say that psychosomatic, and to a human mind that's all very true. There's only one thing wrong with it. To have a cause for something, you must have that something first. The moment you have a cause for error, you've fallen into the trap of believing that error exists. You're thinking on a human plane of a three-dimensional world. You're not thinking of the kingdom of God. You're not thinking of the allness of God, the omnipotence of God, which makes the possibility of error impossible. Where is the error? How could the worry cause ulcers if God never caused ulcers? How could the hate and jealousy cause the cancer if God never caused the cancer? How could any error have a cause if God is the only cause? And so where do we find these great remedies? In the human mind that is unaware of the Christ message that God is the only cause. And you can follow the Pied Pipers of the human mind right into oblivion. Because God is the only cause, and you can stand on it. And Christ is the only identity on earth, and you can stand on that. And then you won't have to waste your time looking for the causes of things that cannot happen without God causing them. And you begin to see the universal hypnotism of the mind, which looks for false causes for non-existent errors. I, Christ, I don't recognize any error. I am too pure to behold error because I live in the substance of God. Do you know another substance? That's more than God knows. Do you know another life? That's more than God knows. Do you know another person other than the being called God? That's more than God knows. God knows only Christ, the Son of God. So individually we raise our hands privately and we say, I am that Christ. I will not look for a cause for error because there is no error in Christ. The moment I look for a cause for error, again, I deny I, Christ, is my name. I separate again from Christ's self. I become the sense of mortal self. And now I'm under the law of two powers. See that fine edge in which you never step out of identity. You sit back, resting in identity. Is this of God? Is this in God? Is it in Christ? No. Then where is it? World mesmerism. How do I get rid of it? Don't get rid of it. It isn't there. But if you can't rest in I, Christ, if you can't know I, Christ, as a universal truth, that which is not there continues to be seemingly there. And you have to find all kinds of human remedies for non-existence. Only because you're living in non-existence. That's why it lives in our world. As we live in non-existence, we see that which does not exist. The fabric of the dream is always there to those who live in the dream. When you're in the myth, that which is mythical is real. To one image, another image is real. To I, Christ, only reality is real, and it is pure, perfect as the Father. As I, Christ, in you is lifted up, as you ascend out of world mesmerism, You are opening your consciousness to the infinite life. You are being anointed by the Father, redeemed out of the false sense of life, returning to the Father's house. Enlightened, illuminated, releasing man who never existed from your consciousness, accepting God as all. Is it so difficult to accept something bigger than the human form as yourself? Is it really so difficult that we cannot accept that I, Christ, which fills, let's say, just this room at the moment, is your name? That the form next to you doesn't fool you at all? I, Christ, throughout the room is your name, your identity. I, Christ, is not confined or limited or sitting in a chair. I, Christ, is pure Christ consciousness. The full expression of God. Wherever God is, Son, thou art ever with me. Wherever God is, the I Christ that you are is expressing that Godhead everywhere. I got a call from Tokyo the other day. What's the difference if it comes from Tokyo or Sacramento? I Christ is infinite. In I Christ, Tokyo is just maybe a little dot, just like Sacramento. But I Christ is never separated from itself. I Christ knows nothing about distance or time. I Christ is not interred. I Christ is not transient. I Christ is not subject to error. I, Christ, is the original light, the genuine, the authentic, the substance of life itself. I, Christ, in Tokyo is not the truth. There's no Tokyo. There's only I, Christ. And all the names on the maps are just other places that are all a temptation for us to deny I, Christ. Students today are being taught different things about God. There's one group thinks that Jesus is somewhere on another planet, sending signals. There's another group that figures that Jesus was a human being who happened to know the truth, never knowing that he was transformed from that mortal sense into I, Christ. And everywhere, students are finding all kinds of isms that they can hang their hat on. Some don't believe in any of those. They're determined the only way is without religion at all. Without inner understanding. Just maybe some form of meditation. It is our function to be. Not to learn, not to seek, not to strive, not to believe, but to be. To be that which the world is seeking to find. You find when you are being that, you are accomplishing all that you really have ever wanted. Deep down inside, the desire to serve is probably our greatest desire. We all want to be useful. The best way you can serve is to be. The full expression of God realized in consciousness. That'll do the job. That'll serve the world. That'll lift every student who comes in contact with you. That'll lift everyone out of their lie. That'll open hearts and open souls. Just to be what you are is the way you serve. You don't have to go beyond that. There is no beyond. The world is being misled. The hardcore of Christ's self is not what they're learning. Some may say it, I am God, I'm a skin diver. But that won't make them skin divers or God. There must be this total renunciation of all that is not I, Christ, for I, Christ, to shine through. Onion skin after onion skin is shed till you come to the core called Christ. There's nothing left to shed. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father. Those words are not ravening wolves. They're not false Christs. They're not opinions. They're not mentally presented. They come with the voice of authority. And they are the Christ of you, right before you, saying, follow me. Now to live in I, Christ, then, you must follow the words of Christ. Until that outer Christ goes away, so you find the comforter within. Until Christ within you is speaking, instead of just outside of you. I think maybe we could pause a bit. Please don't see individual people in this intermission. Try to understand that everyone you're looking at is I, Christ, and that I, Christ, is not separated everywhere it is. It is a universal self. Wherever you plug into it by recognition, you're in the allness of it. Wherever you do not accept I, Christ, you have plugged out. And you've lost all of it. Intermission is very short. In that intermission, you can certainly find the capacity today, of all days, not to drop into the easiness of a human you. Is that a fair enough request today? That I, Christ, be your name, even during intermission. It will help you.